Hey, hit me!
Are you ready for the deadliest news, issues, comments, and people? Well, on now is National Talk Black with Trendy Trev, going live from BBM through the National Indigenous Radio Service. Give us a call now, 1-800-422-416.
National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
Yes, a very good morning, you Delhi mob. Welcome back to your Yarny Circle, the Murray Grapevine. It is National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry. I come to you live from First Station Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country, BBM Bumrabrip Media, 98.7 FM. Go across the nation. Thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. Have your say in Yarn Upstrong, 1-800-422-416, number you need to call. I'd like to acknowledge traditional owners of the land we broadcast from and to all our traditional owners across this beautiful country of ours. Welcome back. National Talk Black, have your say, Yarn Upstrong, your mob. Too easy. 14th of October, here it is, this Saturday, referendum. Go into the polling booths and vote yes or no regarding voice to parliament. Maybe you're on a yarn about that space. All ears here on your daily program. Maybe you're on a yarn about what's happening with your organisation, with your family mob, with your clan group. Either way, all ears here on this daily program, National Talk Black. Let's go to Arafura Sea, Saltwater Band. Do enjoy.
Beautiful river.
G'day, you mob. This is Tanya Kernaghan with Trendy Trev, and you're tuned in to National Talk Black.
Call us now, 1800 422 416.
Beautiful track there. That's from T.I. Akai Brothers here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Have your say and yarn up strong. 1-800-422-416, number you need to call. Yarning with yours truly, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from Macquarie. Coming live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country, BBM Bumbabrib Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Radio Service. Give us a call, have your say, you mob. Now, new data on mental health is a wake-up call for urgent reform. New data from Mental Health Australia and the National Centre for Social Economic Modelling at the University of Canberra released just recently. World Mental Health Day shows alarming disparities in the distribution of mental health services across Australia, with severe inadequacy in rural, regional and remote areas. The National Rural Health Alliance, the Alliance, calls for increased investment and systematic mental health reform to rectify the disparities shown in the Mapping Mental Health Care Research Project for people living and working in rural Australia. The federal and state governments need to show more commitment to engage with stakeholders to relieve rural communities of the barriers to assessing mental health services. And that's a statement there by Susie Tigran, a chief executive of the Alliance. And I have Susie on the line. Susie, good morning, Susie. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you, Trevor. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you very much for coming to the program. Where are you based, Susie?
Well, actually, today I'm in New South Wales, but okay. I travel around a lot.
Okay. In and out of hotels, suitcases.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, that in a sense would be a mental strain. But look, thank you very much coming to the program. So talk about a gap and closing gaps. Well, here's another gap when we're talking about, new data on mental health is a wake-up call for urgent reform, yes?
Absolutely. You know, for some reason, we seem to lack people hearing the message.
Sure.
And that 30% of the population that lives in rural and remote Australia continues to miss out on strategies to, you know, support rural communities in having a healthier community. And
sure.
The mental health issues are not reducing.
Well, exactly, and we need, if not federal and state, both of them together to come to the table. Money is the tool, money is the vehicle, and we need more money to invest, and it's an investment, it's not an expense, is it?
Well, that's right. It's an investment because 30% of the population that live in rural, regional and remote Australia, so that's about 7 million people,
yes,
all add significant amount of income to Australia's GDP and economy.
Yep.
And we need to continue to support them. In addition to that, we've got a social contract to support our First Nations people.
Yes.
The rate of suicide amongst Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander is 1.9 times higher that of non-Indigenous people.
So there's a gap. We're talking about closing gaps. There's another gap.
Yeah.
Exactly.
There is another gap. And the solutions need to be looked at from a short, medium and long-term basis. And in addition to that, it has to be very much place-based and co-designed.
Yeah.
Whatever model fits in an urban environment doesn't fit
exactly
with every community.
It's not one size fits all, Susie.
No, no. And by working with the community, we can actually start addressing these issues.
Exactly right. It is a team effort, and people in communities or in rural, they seem to miss out in all facets of life. And if we've got a healthier community, then we have a healthier country, do we not?
Well, that's right. And, you know, regional Australia, so rural, regional and remote, you know, they bring in the farming, the mining, the tourism, fishing
yes.
and forestry income for the rest of Australia
yes.
to also enjoy. And we need to make sure that we support the people that underpin the livelihood of those industries. In addition to that, you know, rural Australia feels the stresses induced by unfavourable conditions of and natural disasters much more
sure.
than people living in the city.
And look, I would take it so far back, Susie, as in education, the curriculum. There should be a platform or space there or a subject in regarding positivity, mental attitude and regarding vision, a future, and also what life dishes out and how to handle it, so to speak, you know. It's got to start at that level. So these young ones, when they finish school, they work in own country, in country. They've got a hold onto adversities that life may dish out.
Yes, and they want to work in and on country. They want to be around their communities.
Mm.
And if the school system not only teaches people to be able to bounce back and actually support them in what life dishes out, and to be fair, you know, life doesn't always dish out all the nice things that everyone is expecting and probably takes for granted.
Mm.
But also to provide some solutions. I mean, I know of, there are a couple of programs like the MALPA Project, M-A-L-P-A, that do some wonderful work with Indigenous kids and also mainstream kids where they start looking at health careers at primary school.
Yes.
And, you know, if people start seeing what they could be, then you start thinking about, well, you know what, in secondary school I might be interested in a job in aged care, or I might be interested in a job in nursing or being a doctor. And I think there needs to be a much more longitudinal approach to how can we ensure that our communities are healthy and, you know, not so much resilient, because these communities are resilient already. It's really about being able to bounce back from issues that often, you know, come about either by trauma or, you know, one-off
natural disaster,
events.
Floods, fire,
absolutely.
You know? Yes, all the above.
So I think there's there needs to be more of a concerted effort of local community, local mobs co-designing with the federal and state government, and the funding going to the places and in the way they need them, rather than guidelines that are inflexible and funding that doesn't fit rural communities. And I'd like to think that there is a concerted effort from federal government to make some of those changes. But currently, there is a major underspend in healthcare delivery for rural, regional and remote Australia of $6.55 billion per annum.
That's a lot of money. And the thing is they need to come to the table, federal and states, and invest in this space and help our Australians. Like you said, they distribute so much.
Yep, that's right. And we can no longer pretend it's not happening. We can no longer say this is too difficult a problem to solve.
Exactly.
Because we can't keep losing people to suicide and mental health when really there is an opportunity to support them, and there's also an opportunity to start training and recruiting local students that are in the schools and providing them opportunities and pathways to go into health careers so that our workforce in the future, in the longer, medium and longer term, is there to service those communities.
Exactly. Now, Susie, with the new data from Mental Health Australia and National Centre for Social and Economic Modelling, what do you do with this information, Susie? Do you take it to the Minister, Health Minister?
The really positive thing about the recent data that was released is that people can actually look at, and planners can look at, certain communities. So the drive for planning and policy and funding can very much be driven by population health need.
Yep.
And the maps show existing data to visually represent the proportion of Australians experiencing mental ill health. And it is all using Australian government funding mental health services data across different regions. The mapping highlights inequalities in access to mental health care, and some areas, of course, have experienced higher psychological distress but lower use of mental health services. And part of that is because the services may not be there.
Mm-hmm.
Part of it may be that people don't know they're there.
Yep.
And then there is another component, maybe those services that are available are not appropriate to what is needed by the population that is there. But really, those people that already deliver mental health services around rural, regional and remote Australia are extremely stressed, and we need to make sure that we support them.
Well, exactly. Well, then they have a mental health problem as well. It creates havoc, doesn't it? Yes.
Exactly. And we provide them the support that they need to be able to provide the population the service that they require. But it is wonderful data because it actually is fact-based.
Yes.
And it allows people to plan with confidence.
Good. Exactly. Look, thank you very much for the yarn there, Susie. Fantastic. And good luck with it all. Please do keep in touch. And it is Mental Health Week, and we need to look out for our fellow Australians and just pop the question, are you okay? And support each other.
Thank you very much.
Susie, all the best. You have a great day. Thank you, dear.
Thank you, Trevor.
Bye-bye. There it is, Susie Teagan, her name is, and she's Chief Executive Officer of the Alliance. and talking about the new data on mental health is a wake-up call for urgent reform. It is Mental Health Week, and look, love and respect fellow Australians out there. As I said, the best exercise for your heart is when you're bending down, lifting somebody up. So do that, your mob. Have your say, Jan Upstrong. Add to the conversation here, National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416. Beautiful track there, Land and Sea. Anita Pitt here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Give us a call, 1-800-422-416. We've got Tony Gibbs on the line. Tony, good morning. How are you, brother?
I'm good, Trev. You?
I'm well. How are you travelling? What's happening?
Yeah, I'm still sitting in the cemetery today for my anniversary day.
Okay, brother.
And for my own mental health, I'm going to have to give it a rest. I can't sit in the cemetery all the life with this thing to pull the crosses out.
Sure.
And I've had some friends, I've got friends in the legal thing, and they've told me that what the council's done is illegal.
Hmm.
I don't want to give you the reasons why it's illegal.
Sure. Because, yep. So you've got a leg to stand on then, brother.
Oh, I'm making a stand, but I just can't be here all the time. I'm happy to be here at the anniversary day, but it would drive someone mad if I'm here non-stop, and I've done like 10 days.
Well, Donna Spirit is with you, my brother.
Oh, she's with me, mate. I'm with her here. And I know where I'm going. I'm not in a hurry to get in the cemetery, but I've done all the preparation, and whether my carcass end up there or not, I don't know. My intentions are well marked because I've had to put my own cross. And it's inhuman and cruel treatment, as well as it being illegal. It's a great case for the Anti-Discrimination Commission here, you know?
Yeah, sure. Yes, yes.
It'll lead to that because I just don't need this threat over my head all the time because I heard the mental health thing the other day and said, you can't tell who's got mental health having a bandage around their head.
Exactly, yeah.
So you don't know who's a racist and who's not. You can't tell
the book. That too, exactly. That's right, exactly.
That's right.
Not all of them wear the Ku Klux hat.
No, that's right, man. Otherwise someone would say, and they go to the emergency and mental health and say, I'm a redneck, can you do something about it? Or I'm a Nazi thing supporter, you know. But there's mental health, and you don't know when you meet people, you know. I keep to myself a lot because I'm married to a black woman and I experienced a lot of racism and her too. So we just lived our own life quiet and we were happy in the scrub. That's where she was happiest, in the rainforest.
Well, exactly. I always say I believe in everybody but rely on nobody, you know.
Something like that, mate.
Yeah.
I think we're in heaven now.
Sure.
Yeah, that's we're here now, and there's another world, and the world's very troubled. The world, and a lot of the stress is just caused by the government and
all the rules and regulations, brother.
Yeah, mate. Mm. It's supposed to be a free country. You can't even get buried in peace, you know. But it's just got to the point of.
So paint the picture, Tony. So you've been sleeping there at the graveside, have you?
No, I haven't been sleeping yet.
Okay,
mate,
get up early in the morning, come on over, yep.
Yeah, I'll get up early in the morning. I'm here till 4 o'clock when the council yard closes. You know, I'm frightened when I go away. They will come and pull it out.
Yeah,
but I'm
sure.
saying, you know, I just can't be here all the time for my own mental health. And I've got the house, you know, cancelled and stuff at home because I'm tired of it. And for Gordonvale, what this council has done is, I saw your picture in the paper, mate. You're running for council there. Good on you, you know. Like,
thank you, brother.
You can make a difference. You're not anonymous no more. No, but you're having a go, mate.
Having a go. Throwing a hat in the arena, yes.
Yeah, because we're all free agents, really, you know.
Mm.
Yeah, I've got young people coming up to me here in Gouldenvale now saying, oh, we don't crocodiles in the river, you know. It's not everybody's totem.
Sure.
It's this fellow Tucker before. And I said, well, you make a flyer. I'll even pay to get them all printed, you know. Migaloo can't do everything for you.
Mm.
And they said, oh, but we're in the corporation. I said, yeah, well, what you do outside the corporation is your business.
You're still an individual, yep.
You're still an individual and you still have
Source
rights.
Exactly.
If you're part of a corporate, what the elders, you know, a lot of these young people, and I say young, and they're 40 and 50 now, they haven't got a say because there's always people older than them. And their life, the mental stress of that is not like, you know, if you're in the... They live under that law still in modern times.
Sure.
And, I feel sorry for their frustrations and there's a million things called mental health and stuff, but it's deprivation of land, you know, deprivation of land, gold, but it's just deprivation. You see the Middle East now, that's another land rights story rising because, you know, I understand the conflict there in history. And it's no different here. I see in Sydney they've got the Palestinian and Aboriginal flags flying together, you know, because they're both suffering land occupation.
Yep.
That's the other side of the story. And,
Same sort of fight.
Yeah, so I'm still in the cemetery, but I'm going to go soon.
Okay, brother. Well, you go and rest up and keep us informed and stay strong. And, yeah, look after your mental health as well, brother.
Yeah, I'll go quiet for a bit, mate. I'm sorry. Thank you for being patient with me, but this is a once-in-a-lifetime trauma, you know. It's bloody awful, and I've done a lot of local reporting, and I just wanted to all go quiet.
Well, thank you for communicating, brother. You stay safe. Look after you, and keep in touch, eh?
Yeah, you too, mate. Bye.
Thanks, brother. Tony Gibbs, there he is at the Gordonvale Cemetery and put up a cross for his loved one, Donna, who's a First Nation woman. Died about 3 years ago now, and he's fighting to have the cross up there. But rules and regulation, council saying no, and that's what he's fighting. But there it is. Have your say. Yarn up strong. Add to the conversation here at National Talk Black. And like I said, this Saturday, 14th of October, referendum. We go to the polls and put in our vote, yes or no, and regarding voice to parliament. Should there be one? Should there not be one? What's your thought? And if we don't have voice to parliament, I ask the question, if not this, then what? So add to the conversation, Mob. National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
G'day, this is Guy Sebastian here, hanging up on National Talk Black, your big yarning show, BBM 98.7. I remember the day.
Yeah, deadly track there. No more boomerang. Coloured Stone here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Have your say, yarn up strong. 1-800-422-416, number you need to call. Yarn with yours truly, Trevor Tim, 20 Trev Murray from Ricurry. Coming live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on your Yidinji country. BBM Bumblebee Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Radio Service. Have you say your mob? Now, community sector leaders urge Australians to back voice to Parliament on October 14th. That's this Saturday, your mob. The community sector is launching a final campaign push for the voice to Parliament with more than 80 leading community groups across housing, health, legal, disability, financial aid and social welfare. Today, releasing a joint statement urging Australians to vote yes to ensure First Nations voices are heard. With that, I'm going to catch up with Yana with ACOS CEO, Dr. Cassandra Goldie, AO, and got her on the line. Doctor, good morning. How are you, Cassandra?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. Where are you based? You there?
Based in Redfern today, actually.
Okay. Good, good, good. So thank you. Yeah. A push there, urging community sector leaders, urging Australians to back voice to Parliament this Saturday, 14th October. Need to get over the line, don't we?
We certainly do, Trevor. Mm. ACOS and myself personally came very quickly to respond to the ask from that Uluru process, you know, back in 2017.
Yes.
And it was very clear to us that it was an ask to the rest of Australia. And we were not happy when, you know, back then the then Prime Minister, Malcolm Turnbull, said no. We said, well, actually, you haven't asked us. We came out very quickly to say that we wanted to back and support and respond to say yes to, you know, voice, treaty and truth.
Yes.
And here we are. We've only got a few days to go. And right across the community sector, many community organisations on the ground, you know, in solidarity, long history of relationships, as you know, all over the country, Trevor.
Exactly.
And so many of our organisations and community people have been volunteering.
Mm-hmm.
The numbers go up on those volunteers every day, actually, even now. I'll be out there later on this afternoon again talking to people at the bus stops.
Yes.
A lot of people are still trying to work it out, aren't
exactly.
they? Exactly. It's a challenge.
It's a challenge. And we asked the question. And Dr. Cassandra, we asked the question. The government makes decisions on First Nation people without us. Well, here's an opportunity to be at the table. Now they can make a decision with us and guide them and what have you, you know. And it's advisory council. We advise, but then if you look at it as taxpayers' money, people have said that we waste a lot of money in this space. Well, money cannot be wasted then if it's going to the right cause or right communities or right reasons. So having a voice at the table is a good thing. And for the no voters, if not this, then what is the question, Dr. Cassandra?
That's absolutely right. I mean, Trevor, you know, from myself personally and in the organisations where I've had the privilege of working, you know, ACOS, now for some time and previously with, say, the Darwin Community Legal Service up in the Northern Territory for about 5 years and the Australian Human Rights Commission, you know, a history of determination from Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander community people and leaders to get a seat at that table, to have the opportunity to come up with the clear advice about what is needed for communities all over the country. And as you know, we've got a history of really big efforts to build those national organisations and then they get taken away.
Well, exactly.
And so I, you know, really respect and understand why this time round the ask is for that guarantee to be put into the Constitution, that there will be an ongoing national advisory body made up of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people elected by communities from all over the country.
And that will be enshrined.
Provide that ongoing, you know, deep expertise and advice about solutions.
And that will be enshrined, would it not? You know, when we're talking about a referendum, it's enshrined. Top of your head, are we in the Constitution as First Nation people?
Well, of course, the recognition is not there. I mean, the history of this Constitution is one that everybody should know and understand. I mean, it was formed, the Australian Constitution was created in 1901. It was formed by, you know, white people, men.
Yes.
Who took it upon themselves to refuse to put even basic rights protections in the Constitution.
Yes.
Part of that history is because there were mining interests involved, and at that time there were laws that prevented other people of colour, people from Chinese backgrounds, from Indian backgrounds, from being allowed to take out mining licences. I mean, that's our history.
Exactly.
And one of the first laws that was passed by the newly federated you know, constitution, parliament, federal parliament, was the White Australia policy. And so this is a very serious history that you know, the leadership of First Nations people to say we want to be properly recognised in the constitution and that is part of this process. And then to have that guarantee of an ongoing advisory body at national level made up of elected Aboriginal people and Torres Strait Islanders, it's a very clear and very wise ask from Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander communities, and I'm very keen that we do all that we can to bring in a yes vote as we lead up to this Saturday, October the 14th.
Exactly. Dr. Sandra, when you look at the CEO of Telstra, CEO of Qantas, CEO of a big organisation, they're just a phone call away to the Prime Minister. Well, we don't even have that as a First Nation people, you know. And things don't change if things don't change. And change is the engine of growth, is how I see it.
That's it. Well, if we you know, this was, as I say, the Uluru Statement was, you know, for everybody that was involved, it was, you know, an enormous amount of effort to bring through that consensus. Of course, you know, consensus is very hard to achieve. You know, and you'll never get 100% of everybody, but certainly, you know, all the evidence is clear that there's, you know, still over 80% of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people saying, you know, you'll trust it, you'll back it. We want to go forward, not backwards. And, Trevor, you know, for so many non-Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people that I spend time with, they see this as a gift to us all as a country.
Yes.
To bring through that deep wisdom of, you know, First Nations culture for all of us to share and, you know, grow from.
Exactly,
Why wouldn't we want that as
and
a country?
Australia is the only first world country on planet Earth that doesn't have a treaty with the First Nation people. Now, treaty is still a work in process, but having a voice to Parliament, that's a step in the right direction, I would think. And the fact that if it doesn't go through, I think it would be embarrassing internationally for Australia.
Well, it's unthinkable for many people, I think, that we would contemplate anything other than a yes. Having been on the ground for many months now, listening to people who have not been that close to all of this, there are still people today who haven't even heard about the referendum. There are other people who are genuinely very confused. And so every conversation, every chat, every warm smile matters. Right up until Saturday, because, boy, have we, you know, over and over again, what I've seen is when people understand what's at stake, people move to do the right thing. They really do. Overwhelming numbers of people, you know, want the best outcomes for everybody. They do want, you know, a better country. But we've, as you know, Trevor, you're in the media business. You know how hard it can be sometimes to get the messages out in a way that are very clear, including with social media. And so those person-to-person chats are very, very important. And that's about democracy, isn't it?
It is. Dr. Cassandra, thank you for your yarn. So community sector leaders urge Australians to back voice to Parliament on October 14th, this Saturday. Thank you very much, Doctor. You take
care. We certainly do.
And we'll yarn
soon.
Thank
you so much for your time.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Dr. Cassandra Goldie, AO, and she's the CEO of ACOS. And, so the community sector leaders urge Australians to back voice to Parliament October 14. Have you say yarn up strong. We've got about 9 minutes left on the program. National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
We got Talk Black with Uncle Trevor, Murray from the Curry. Call in on 1-800-422-416, 98.7 FM. BBM.
of mine on murder. The judge's gavel fell. Jury found him guilty. Gave him 16 years in hell. On a chain gang, breaking out, heading home. I'm gonna make a jailbreak. And I'm looking towards the sky. I'm gonna make a jailbreak. How I wish that I could fly. All in the name of liberty.
Yeah, jailbreak. That's Yothi Yindi here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, going to sign up for today's program. Thank you very much for your company, Mob. Back in the hot seat again tomorrow. That daily number, 1-800-422-416. 24-7, you can text the brother, 045-714-0550. And don't forget our Facebook page as well, BBM987FM. Thank you for the yarn, you mob. Look, stay black, stay deadly, stay strong. Got the news coming up very soon via NERS, National News Radio Service. Big shout-out to the NERS team. Thank you. And also big shout-out to the First Nation radio station across this beautiful big island of ours, Australia. To Deadly, Deadly Black Network, and keep doing what you're doing, you mob. To Deadly.